Welcome to the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America with Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. Take it away, boys.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you, and we've got a special Ryder Cup preview headed your way, and we're excited to talk about it. We've got our good friend Art Sellinger, former long drive champion and owner of Sellinger's Power Golf, one of the best golf fitting places in the entire planet. But if you're in the Dallas area, you can get your new set of clubs and get fitted by Art there. We'll talk to Art in just a little bit about what he thinks of Zach Johnson, Captain Zach Johnson's team, and how he put it together. And I've been reading a lot of stuff, and I'm sure everybody else has too, and it's kind of all over the board. It's one of the weakest teams I've read, and other people say, well, we're certainly the favorite because the Europeans have a bunch of nobodies after you get past the first two or three guys. So it's going to be interesting. We'll see. It all takes place starting on September the 30th in Rome, and first time it's been played there. And again, we all get goosebumps when we talk about the Ryder Cup, and so there's a lot to build up to. We get most of the month of September here to talk about it, but we will, and that includes, of course, Frank Bassett in the Nashville studios talking about it. How you doing, Frank?
Yeah, I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Not too bad.
Yeah, just getting ready for Labor Day, the weekend. And
it's coming up, yeah.
All of the talk that will be forthcoming for the next 3.5 weeks about the Ryder Cup. So,
I mean, the PGA Tour, this is where it still gets confusing, is, you know, there are still events, even though few people will pay as much attention because it kind of feels like, well, you just had the Super Bowl, right? The Tour Championship, and somebody got an $18 million check, and so it's over. But it kind of isn't because there's still golf to be played in Japan and in Vegas and in Seattle and Georgia. So there's still some tournaments in that fall season. So it, again, for some people, it gets a little confusing because it does seem like it's over, but not officially. So anyway, we'll mostly talk about, for the next several weeks, as you said, the Ryder Cup and what that leads to. The announcement was made earlier this week at the new PGA headquarters in Frisco, Texas. And
you were there.
I was there. Captain Zach Johnson was there, and a lot of luminaries were also there, former Ryder Cuppers, Lee Trevino, Lanny Watkins, Jack Nicklaus was hanging out. I mean, there was just a lot of people, including all the management for PGA Tour as well as PGA of America. And remember, Ryder Cup is run by PGA of America, not PGA Tour, even though there certainly is a brotherhood there, if you will. And I'm sure minds are meeting about what should be done and who's who and all that kind of stuff. But it is a PGA of America, which is, again, mostly the local clubs that people might be joined, and that's where your head pro is a member of the PGA of America and all that. So those are the people, and that's the official organization that puts the Ryder Cup together. And in the on the European side, which their team, Frank, if I'm not mistaken, is the week coming up, right? Like next week we'll find out their final 12 team members, right, after they finish more event. Anyway, at Frisco, it was pretty exciting, and 300 people or so were in this facility, and basically it's a big lobby area, but it has staircases and things. People are packed everywhere. It was like a rock concert almost. People are hanging over balconies to kind of catch what was happening, and Zach named his captain's picks, and there were some questions. So your thoughts on that, and it goes from Ricky and Jordan and Justin Thomas and Koepka, but your thoughts on the captain's picks. The first six are already automatic, and that's whether or not you like them or don't, or feel they're strong enough. It'll be Brian Harman and Scheffler and different guys. They automatically make it. The other six were options, and some guys obviously always left off, and other people were included. So again, what are your thoughts on how the six guys got picked?
You know, you pick Jordan, you're going to have to pick Justin. They're going to play together, and I'm sure, you know, he talked to Jordan and whatever went down between all those conversations. You pick people who are trending up. They're peaking. Well, you also have to look at their history in the Ryder Cup. And, of course, you know, Jordan has a great history, and so Justin has a fabulous history in the Ryder Cup. Yes. But he's just not peaking. He's just having a really down year. So, you know, I don't know. Zach has more information coming in, and he's one-on-one talking to these guys. Here's what I think. Keegan Bradley's been looked over twice. That's a slap in the face to Keegan Bradley. I think that's a travesty.
That was a tough one.
Absolute travesty.
Because he was definitely trending up.
Oh, God. Yeah.
I mean, he'd won twice this year. And we know that he's had not a phenomenal last 5 years, but okay, who cares?
Yeah.
The last year, this season, he's been playing extremely, and he wants to play so badly that you kind of know this isn't just a, okay, sure, pick me if you want. He would have given every ounce
yes.
of sweat that he had in his body to be on that team and to compete for you. So that was a really tough one, I think, for a lot of people to swallow.
Do you think that his, tie-in so strongly with Phil Mickelson had anything to do with that?
I don't, it did come down to, he did mention, now people will say as a early complaint, we'll see how it all plays out. If Zach Johnson does not put together a team that wins, and again, it's in Europe, and that hasn't happened since the Cowboys were Super Bowl champions. That tells you how long ago it was, Frank. It's a long time ago. So it's an uphill battle to begin with. But if they don't win, he will so be second-guessed for putting together a team basically of good old buddy friends. And this is a bunch of guys, most of whom hang together, like each other, travel together, do all those things. And not that it's a criticism, but because I don't think anybody dislikes him. But Keegan admitted, I don't really hang with those guys, right? I'm a bit older, and he played in Ryder Cups in what, 12 and 14, I think, right?
Yep.
Or 10 and 12.
10 and 12.
Is when Keegan played. So it's been, maybe a generation. It's been 10 years or more since he's played on a Ryder Cup. He's not in that group. And did that work against him? Because, again, the automatic guys are Scheffler, Cantlay, Shoffley, Brian Harman, Clark, Wyndham Clark, and Max Homa. Those are the guys that all made it, all kind of in the same age category and whatever. And the picks are Koepka, Spieth, Thomas, Sam Burns, Ricky Fowler, and Colin Morikawa. Again, they're all kind of in that same. The only one who's maybe the outsider is Brooks, right? Brooks isn't around much anymore.
Well, here's the interesting. Here's what they said. Well, but everybody likes Brooks. Everybody likes
what
Brooks.
Say.
What about Bryson DeChambeau? Bryson DeChambeau, if anybody, is really trending upward.
It's the guy who put a little 58 together?
You think?
Yeah, with a 61 the day before?
It just didn't make real solid sense to me. Again, I don't have the data in front of me and the Cray computer that they probably have in Zach's garage that's processing all this information. If you know what a Cray computer is, don't know what a Cray computer is, folks. It was the most powerful computer in the world. I'm being facetious. But my gosh, then you have Lucas Glover. Well, you have Brian Harman on the team. Well, Lucas would have made a lot of sense to me. He does have, I think, his fairways hit. He's number one, isn't he, in the percentage rankings? Yes.
Might be.
He is.
Yeah. He's a machine.
Why would you not want him on that team? You're going to need to hit those fairways because Europe's setting this golf course up, and you know what they're going to do to us because they know we're a bunch of crazy bombers. They're going to set it up. I guarantee you they're going to tighten those fairways down.
Now, but having said that, I agree, and that's normally how it's set up, but McIlroy and Rahm are both bombers as well, and they can spray it. So that doesn't work in their favor to have narrow fairways.
Well, maybe
I think Rory, when he's on, Rory's a very good driver, but if he's not, it's like DeChambeau. It's long and deep somewhere down there, but I don't know that those guys are necessarily Lucas Glover and Keegan Bradley will always put the ball in play. That's one thing that you
absolutely
could kind of say. If you're going to have two guys right there, whether you play them together or not, you've got balls and fairways. And as we know, up until you get to Sunday, it's alternate shot. You're playing with each other. You're playing as a team. So you need those guys to help out maybe another guy who's spraying it a little bit. Jordan and Justin, let's be honest, have had a hard time finding a fairway in the last five tournaments.
They've had a hard time finding player parking. We love them both.
Yes.
They're great guys. We know them both. But,
but that doesn't matter.
Don't put you and I on the team. Hell.
It doesn't. What you need now is, to me, is not, and I get the friendship part, which means, Jordan and Justin have been buddies since they were 14 years old, and they play very well together. And I think they have a combined 8-3-1 record or something in Ryder Cup and President's Cup. So it's hard to overlook that. But boy, I'll tell you what, for one that didn't even get into the playoffs and he missed three cuts in the majors. We're talking about Justin.
Yep.
And I believe he shot 80 in two majors or 80 or 81. He shot over 80 in two majors. 80. Frank, that's like, guy shooting a 120. It's a horrible score for a pro of that level. So something's not working there. And Jordan, oh my God, he's gone back to his, you know, left, right, and then he hits three straight fairways. You're like, oh, he's got to figure it out, until he doesn't. And then he finds a pond, you know, so I don't know. I don't know if I think they're going to have to rely on, quite honestly, on ones you're not necessarily expecting. And I think they're going to have to rely on Sam Burns. I think this team's going to have to rely on Brian Harman, on Wyndham Clark, and even Max Homa. Not the biggest of the names, maybe the lesser of the names in this team. Those guys are going to have to really come through, because I just don't feel great about, and even Ricky. I mean, he's had a pretty good year, but there's definitely holes in the ship for this Ryder Cup team that maybe they can patch up, you know, and put it together in time to play in Rome. I don't know.
Yeah, it will. I certainly know that we have somebody that's going to join us shortly that will have some opinions about that.
You're going to be shocked at who he thinks should be on this team.
Oh, don't spill it.
I'm not. I know how to tease a little something.
You've been in this business a while. I wanted to ask you another question, but let's hold it because we'll just blend it all in, because when the man with the plan is on with us, the big stick, he has opinions on everything. So that's great.
Okay.
And valid opinions in most cases, I might say.
Well, Art's one of the smartest golf guys you're ever going to meet. And so he says what he thinks. And so he has some feelings, because I don't know if he knows this course or not. And am I pronouncing it right? It's Marco Simone or Simone?
Simone. You Marco know? Simone.
Simone. Okay.
Marco Simone.
Simone. Simone. Simone golf course, and it's just outside of Rome. And
bowl of spaghetti.
I don't think we'll be an Italian on the team, and I don't know how much the crowd certainly could be pro Europe, but you know, that's a little different too, because normally it's a real you're in Ireland, you got Rory, or you're in England, and you got these English players and Paul Casey. In Rome, without any Italian play, I don't know how that's going to play.
You're going to have an assistant captain or captains. You know.
I mean, it'll be something. And again, they'll be pulling for, so it'll still be a away game, is a way to put it.
I don't think the Italians are going to pull for us, okay? I just don't think they are. It's going to be a very biased crowd over there.
I think they're going to overfeed the Americans. They're going to have like a pasta coma. dinner.
Carbs, baby. Load them up.
I can't play tomorrow.
Have some of this wine. You're going to love this stuff.
A little bit more. You want some more? We got some more.
Laced
spaghetti.
With MD 2020. They're going to kill them. They better carry a couple of American chefs. As a matter of fact, McDonald's.
Yeah, they will. Oh, they do.
I know.
That's how it's gotten. I mean, Ryder Cup used to be kind of friendly and hey, we'll have a good time. And the wives would come and, you know, and almost like a vacation. And it really was, because the U.S. completely dominated from 27 till 90, pretty much. It was a domination by the U.S. I mean, just overwhelming.
Yeah.
Since 90, it's been very even, but even slanted towards the Europeans. So, and in that, it's like you're bringing your own physio guys to make sure that their guys are stretching and warming up, your own chefs to cook your own food on. I mean, it's become like super corporate and a major, major event, not just a friendly little trip over to Europe and have some fun and, you know, go see some sights while you kick the butt of the Irish and European guys.
All right. Let's get it going.
Like Lanny Watkins. And we're going to have Lanny on the show in a couple weeks. He was at the event there at Frisco earlier this week. And Lanny is one of the best records, one of the top percentage records of any U.S. Ryder Cup player.
Lanny's a competitor.
He was in the midst of that domination. Yeah. I mean, every time when he was playing, they would just – and so it'll be interesting to hear from Lanny saying, what a difference it's become, because it was back then probably – I'm sure he'll say it's competitive, but much more of a – fun get together, and then we'd just win and we'd move on, you know, and say hi to the guys, and then we'd kick their butts and do it again. All right, well, let's take a break, and Art Selinger, our good friend, will be joining us to give us some of his hot opinions when we come back. You're listening to Golf Talk America, and Frank and I and Art will be back right after this.
Your business gets to a certain size and the cracks start to emerge. Things you used to do in a day are taking a week. You have too many manual processes. You don't have one source of truth. If this is you, you should know these three numbers: 36,000, 25, and 1. Okay? Let's go at them one by one. 36,000, that's the number of businesses which have upgraded to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite's the number one cloud financial system, streamlining accounting, financial management, inventory, HR, and more. 25, NetSuite turns 25 this year. That's 25 years of helping businesses do more with less, close their books in days, not weeks, and drive down costs. And then there's 1. Because your business is one of a kind. so you get a customized solution for all of your KPIs. That's key performance indicators in one efficient system with one source of truth. You manage risk, get reliable forecasts, and improve margins. Everything you need, all in one place. You know, I was in business for many, many years before I got into radio and TV. And I will tell you that we had dysfunctional systems that didn't talk to each other. So it took forever to get the information we needed to make smart decisions. Well, with the brand new NetSuite product that they're offering right now with an unprecedented offer, you can't go wrong. And their offer that NetSuite's providing makes everything possible for you. So here's what I want you to do. Right now, go download NetSuite's popular KPI checklist designed to give you consistently excellent performance absolutely free at netsuite.com/golftalk. That's netsuite.com/golftalk to get your own KPI checklist. Folks, you need to do that today. That's netsuite.com/golftalk.
And welcome back to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. And in a moment, we're going to be joined by Art Sellinger. Before we get to that, Frank, I wanted to mention and give our best thoughts to Gary Woodland, who's going to be undergoing a pretty serious operation coming up shortly. He has lesions on his brain, which sounds horrible, and he was taking medication for it. And, of course, this is Gary Woodland, a 2019 U.S. Open champ and a great, great player for years and years on the PGA Tour, and the medication wasn't working, so they're going to have to actually operate on his brain to remove the lesion. So I don't think we saw a date on that, but it sounds like it's coming up pretty shortly. So anyway, the best to him to get through that, and I'm sure the doctors are fine, and you know, we'll tell you they've done it a bunch, and it's all. But that just scares me, doesn't it? Brain surgery is
thoughts kinda, and prayers, absolutely, yeah.
Serious stuff.
Anytime you go under anesthesia, it's to me, it's big surgery.
So. Yeah. So, best to him. In the meantime, let's get to Art Sellinger again, two-time world long drive champion and owner of Sellinger's Power Golf in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and he joins us now. Talk a little Ryder Cup and whatever else hits his fancy. Art, how you doing today,
gentlemen? I'm doing fine. I'm going to play a little golf this afternoon, I think.
You're playing golf this afternoon?
I am. I'm going to play at Ridgely Country Club in Fort Worth, where I'm a member. But I did get to play the new PGA Fields East Ranch golf course a couple days ago. And wow, is all I can that. Say. Holy smokes.
What'd you think?
Well, I think it's an awesome golf course. It's an amazing facility. Gil Hance, that's the course I played, did an amazing job. I don't think you should go back to 7,800 yards.
I don't either.
We played it from 6,700 yards, and it was quite the test. The green complex is it's really good theater. There's a lot of great holes that, depending where they put tee boxes, well, when they have the PGA Championship, the Club Pro, even the women's KPMG and all the stuff they're bringing there. It's great for our town here in Dallas-Fort Worth area for Frisco. So I thought it was fantastic. And I was out there the day after they made the announcement for the picks. So there you go.
There you go. Yeah. I mean, and I was out there for those picks, and it was – a lot of drama. And by the way, going back to just for a second, and I played there a couple of weeks ago at same course, the Fields Ranch, and Gil Hance's course, and it is a lot of golf course for anybody to play, and certainly the pros and whoever else. Just had the senior PGA Championship there in the spring. But when you go to the facility, and you said it's great, the putting greens and the everything there is amazing facility, and the guy, as I'm walking up on the range, and I'm the only guy on the range at this time, and he says, hi, Mr. Matthews, would you like Pro V1s? Or Chrome Softs or TaylorMade. And I said, you mean like for my car? Just I back it up and you guys just kind of load me it with. And he goes, no, for hitting on the range. And I go, I thought you were giving me a bunch of balls. But somehow I think one or two fell in my pocket.
He started laughing when you suggested, do you have Molotars? You know,
the $300 green fee warrants the good range balls. So.
Yeah, you should get good range balls if you're paying that kind of money for it. So it was a lot of fun.
But hey, anyway, quick question. Art said that it just spiked something. Art, I don't want to get into a long thing on this because we really want to talk about the Ryder Cup. But talking about range balls, when you have a $600 or $700 driver, and like the Stealth or whatever it is that you're going out there, yep, and you're hitting those rock range balls at these ranges when they just have a bag of, you know, junk, is there validity to the fact that that's really not good for the face of that golf club to be hitting those rocks like that?
If you have ball speed over 185 miles an hour, it's probably not a great idea. But most places aren't using rock flights anymore. They're using, you know, you see a lower-end Titleist practice or a lower-end Callaway practice. The worst thing you can do is hit a sandy, wet range ball any time, because you'll pit the face, especially your wedges, and you will hurt the driver face, and you'll see some pitting and marring of the face. So never hit your driver with a – you always see a – that's why you'll always see a tour player with their caddy, and the caddy throws them the golf ball for the driver because they dry it off because they don't want to hit that on their face of the golf club. But I don't think you're going to break or mess the integrity up with a two-piece hard golf ball. They're not making stuff like that anymore that would do that. So to me, no validity in hurting the face with the hard ball, but a lot of validity in destroying your equipment with a wet, sandy range ball. I get these kids come in my shop and their wedges are done in 3 months. Wow. And I go, this is why you have practice wedges and play wedges. Wear out the practice wedges when you go hit 100 of those with wet, sandy range balls, and save your gamers for when you play golf. That's the
key. Got it. All right.
When I first met Art, Frank, Art was playing nitros. That's how far back that goes.
Nitro. I'm going to tell you what. I played that golf ball, the Nitro 440. The ball was so hard it would hurt your hand. I think the compression might have been 125. But I was under contract with him, and it was the damn longest golf ball you've ever seen hit in your life at the time. Yeah. I mean, it was lethal. I played the Argentine Masters in 1991 in Buenos Aires, and I played that golf ball. I had a caddy that spoke no English, and I'll never forget, I hit a pitching wedge into the first hole in our practice round, and the ball might have bounced 4 feet in the air and went over the green. And he looked at it, and he picked up the ball when we were on the green when I was putting, and he goes, Nitro. He goes, no bueno.
No bueno. No good. No good.
No good. No bueno. And I felt like I was given trust me, I needed the field to give me 5 shots a day, and I felt like I was given the field 5 shots a day with that piece of garbage. So anyway, it was bad. It was bad for play. I couldn't even stop it. Trust me. And I played my practice rounds with Jadon Blake, and I went down. We roomed together. He won the tournament, in fact, 1991. Look, it actually was the Argentine Open. I played the Argentine Masters in 97. He won the 91 Argentine Open at Club Olivios, and we got a house together, and I shot 77, 78, missed the cut by a ton, and he looked at me, and he goes, I don't even know how you shot that kind of screen. You must have played really good with that ball. But I honored my contract.
Under contract.
And, there you have it.
There you go. There you go.
I remember, because you even had it. Didn't you have the Nitro facility up there in Flower Mound?
Yeah, they had a facility out there where they did the testing. We did.
Yeah, I remember doing that with you.
For them and all that. And again, it was just a golf ball that was trying to, you know, be the longest golf ball on the planet, but it definitely came with a few other things, like you'd hurt your hand if you hit it, and if you definitely didn't want a ball to stop on the green, it was the ball of choice. So
you have to hit it 50 yards in front of the green, let it run up.
Yeah, I had to figure that one out. Yeah. I'm sure. Well, let's talk about what happened in Frisco earlier this week at the PGA headquarters of America, and the naming of the Ryder Cup team. And so we'll let you talk about this, but going down the list, as Zach Johnson did, it became kind of apparent to a lot of people that this was a lot of guys that like each other and are friends and get along and whatever. Are they the best six guys that he had to pick? The top six, no choice. They made the team.
Right.
Do you feel that way? Do you feel like it was not a good old boy, a young old boy kind of team that maybe some of these guys didn't deserve to be there, but they all like each other and they get along and have in the past played well together?
Well, I always say this, like anything else, PGA Tour events that offer sponsor exemptions, those sponsors and those tournament directors have the right to pick whoever they want to play in that golf tournament. Zach Johnson's the captain. By the way, the old rumor was saying he wished he only had two captain's picks like the old days for six.
Yeah.
But he has the right to pick who he wants. He's got to look at numerous factors. Number one, camaraderie, like you're saying, is huge. What has he got? Four assistant captains? So they're all going to have their say as well. He's also going to look at, so the team room is big. The camaraderie is big. Pairings are huge. You got to look at the golf course. You know what the Euros are going to do. They're going to set up very narrow fairways, extremely high rough. That's their deal. So they want to take the bombers away, which I think is what kept Cam Young off the team. Not only he didn't play well as of late, it was really nice to see Brooks Koepka's wife give his pick away the day early on. That's really smart. That's just, you just got to love her going over there with them.
Yeah, yeah.
Tim, you know how I feel about that. We'll talk about that in another situation.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, because I'll tell you what, you always see a lot of these, you know, significant others or whoever walk their spouse up to home plate or out to the 50-yard line to take a snap. You know, I mean, it happens every day, center court in basketball. But regardless, I don't know. Freddie Couples said something like, you know, it was the good boys club or whatever. And everybody's a Monday morning quarterback with this. Who should they take? Who should they take? He could do several things. One, he could have gone straight down the list and said, hey, look, these are the 12 that made the list on points. Or he can do what he did, and he has that right. And if you guys were the captain, would you have taken those six? Before I tell you who I would have taken.
No,
I mean, who do you think got left off? Who do you think got taken that shouldn't have, and who got left off? What are your guys' opinions?
I'll say Keegan Bradley first and foremost.
Okay,
I'll take Keegan first and foremost.
Do you think if he'd have shot 65 the last day and, let's say, finished third instead of what he shot in the Tour Championship, or was he cooked before it was done?
I think he was cooked before it was done.
And they say he was cooked because he doesn't get along well with the other guys on the team. But how does Koepka get along with the other guys on the team?
Well, they said that all of them like Koepka. My other guy is Bryson DeChambeau.
Oh.
I would have taken Bryson, but
you know. I don't think he can hit it straight enough out there personally to do it. I really don't.
On that course?
Go ahead.
Yep. Yeah. My gut is Keegan got screwed by it. I think that in saying those two things about get along or not get along, Koepka has always been, even when he was PGA Tour, not LIV Tour, more of an outsider than a buddy-buddy with those guys. Not that everybody hated him. I don't know that there's that many guys on the tour in general, Patrick Reed, that people just really don't like. They just don't hang with him as much. And Keegan, as we were talking before you came on, Art, is Keegan is a bit of a different era. He's not that old, but he's older than a lot of these guys. So he's not going to go get on the yacht with Jordan and Justin and Ricky and go hang with those guys, because he was a Ryder Cup guy in 2010, and those guys were in high school.
He's a big family man, too. I mean, not to say that those guys aren't, but Keegan's he is more settled in his family.
I don't think he's disliked.
Do you think it had anything to do that he's really close with Phil Mickelson?
That's what I said in the first segment. Yeah. I think that could have been the case.
Yeah.
I'm gonna throw something at you here. If I'm the Ryder Cup captain and we're going to Rome on that golf course, from everything I have read and heard and how narrow it's going to be and how critical putting is in the Ryder Cup, they have won the Ryder Cup more because of putting than anything else. Putting, putting, putting. So you need people to put it in play. You got to think about alternate shots. He took Sam Burns because of Scheffler. That's going to be his partner. And I think he took JT because of Jordan. Okay.
Right. Agreed.
There's four guys that are there because they like each other as much as anything. Not that Scheffler didn't deserve it, but yeah, that's why they're
there. I get that. But I'm going to tell you right now, if I want to win the Ryder Cup, I'm going to roll the dice on these wild card picks because they are wild card picks. And you guys might freak out on this or whatever. You might think I'm an idiot. But, hey, everybody's got an opinion. A lot of people think Lucas Glover got screwed. You know, he's hot and he's putting good and whatever. And he's never played on one. He played President's Cup 12 years ago, whatever, when he won the U.S. Open. Okay. First pick I take, definitely on the team, Steve Stricker. Done. He plays my alternate shot matches. He can't miss a fairway if he wanted to, and he might be the best putter and chipper on the planet. And he plays singles, and he holds his own. He's as hot as it gets. Second guy I'd take, Denny McCarthy. Might be the best putter on the planet. 14th, 13th in points, whatever. Might be the best putter. I want to win the Ryder Cup, okay? So I'm going to do that because I want guys that make putts. It's all that's to it. They make everything. Denny McCarthy, statistically, is might have had one of the best putting years anybody's ever had. And I want to win alternate shot points. Those are so critical. I would not play them in best ball. I'd play them in alternate shot. They'd play three matches each, those two guys right there. That's what I feel. I would not have taken JT. I just don't think he's playing good enough right now.
So that's the debate there, Art, is do you take a guy, and let's say McCarthy, who has virtually nil as far as experience at that level and doing those kinds of things, which is a different, I get it, whatever skills they might have you done it in a Ryder Cup pressure, which everybody acts like is more than a Masters final day kind of pressure. You got to look into that, and then you say versus a guy like JT or Spieth, who may not be red hot right now, but they certainly know what that's like and have known it for the last 7-8 years. Of that kind of pressure. Does that have to factor in too of the rookiness, if you will, of some of these guys?
It does. I see Jordan as a big game hunter, and I see him turning his putter around, and I don't know how they're going to do. I just think those are a couple wild cards that were probably, I think they considered Denny, but I'm telling you right now, I mean, there was talk numerous years ago when one of the hottest players on the planet was in his 50s, and that was Hale Irwin. And they were thinking about taking him, and they should have. Okay, I'm just telling you that this course is not going to be crazy long. It's not a bomber's paradise. You got to hit the fairway, and you've got to putt it. And I don't know how many people that might think I have taken something this morning, but watch Steve Strick play golf. I'm going to tell you right now, this guy on that kind of setup will drill people. It's all that's to it. And I worry about the putting of, and let's just see how it happens. I'm not saying we're going to win or lose. I'm going to say it's going to come down to hitting fairways and putting. It's all to it. That's what I believe. So hey, the other pick, Keegan Ball Striker, Lucas Ball Striker, what have you. I mean, those you can take. You can. I think the Cam Young leave off is good. It was a good leave off right there. I don't think it's the right golf course for him, and I just don't think he's playing any good. But I'd have taken some guys that can roll that pill.
Let me ask you this, Art. Again, we're joined by Art Selinger. Let me ask you about the European side of it. When you say that they're going to cut it down, narrow the fairways for the bombers.
Yep.
But as I said before, again, before you joined us, you got Rahm and Rory are bombers, and they can spray it as well as anybody. Is that an advantage for the, for the Europeans where you got – those guys doing the same thing that the Americans might be doing?
I really think Rory is straighter than you think. I know Rahm has been spraying it, but I think it's also a golf course. We're going to see a lot of these guys hit irons off tees and things like that. And I think they're going to fix their action just fine. There was a point there before the last month or so where Rahm was as long as straight as anybody that's ever played since honestly Norman dominated that long and straight category for about 10 straight years. I mean, so I think they can drive their ball fine. Again, they're going to set the golf course up. They're going to, you'll see slower greens. That's another thing. I'm telling you, if anybody out there is not really into it, if you ever get a chance, go to a tour event and just watch Denny McCarthy putt the golf ball. And it is biblical. It is of nothing you have ever seen before. Or go to a Champions Tour event and watch Steve Stricker. I've seen it firsthand. Watch Steve Stricker roll a golf ball, all right? And watch how straight he hits it. He can't miss. He don't miss greens. He don't miss fairways. And he putts it incredible. And that's, those are points to me. That's just, I just would do, I would really mix it up and do something pretty crazy. That's all. But that's
Art, you were the first guy that said this to me, and this was 3-4 years ago, maybe. Watch out for this guy named Victor Hovland. He was coming out of Oklahoma State. So I don't know how long was it, 4 years ago, whatever it was. And not a lot of people knew who he was unless you really, really followed golf and U.S. amateurs and everything. But you said, watch this guy. And it's taken him a while, but there's not a hotter guy, obviously, on the planet than Victor Hovland, which is a huge addition for that European team. But do those guys, and this is just a theory, but can you stay hot or do you get, like, and that was the question about Lucas Glover. Is he hot for 2 or 3 weeks, but now he's going to fade by the time we get to Ryder Cup? How do you determine whether or not that hot guy is going to, or Justin Thomas is going to stop being cold and get hot when he gets to Europe? Because you've got a bit of a gap here. You're not just playing the next week. You're playing weeks later.
You got a month. You're right. I told you Victor Hovland would be the number one player in the world at one time, and I think he's going to be. That class that came out that year, I believe, Frank, correct me, you're a great statistician, but it was Matt Wolf, Colin Morikawa, John Rahm, and Sam Burns. I think they all came out that same year. And I thought Hovland was the – I don't know if they came out the same year, but I thought Hovland was the sleeper that would just absolutely be dominant. The only thing that was lacking was his putter and his chipper, and he addressed that. And from a ball-striking standpoint, it's game over. And I mean, the harder he hits it, the better he hits it. And we know where Matt Wolf is. We know what Morikawa has done, two majors. Sam Burns had a really good hot streak there. It was nice to see him, you know, make the tour championship, play good at the end. He's lethal. He's really good. So, but Hovland's going to stay hot because he's 25. He's got confidence. And I mean, there's no stopping him now, because before, all that was keeping him was, if I miss this screen, I'm not going to get it up and down kind of thing. And now he's getting it up and down, and it's amazing what he is doing around the golf course. The scores that he is shooting. I mean, how about Xander? I mean, think about it. I mean, Xander is he was out in that class 2011.
Yep.
From when Jordan and Justin came out, and that guy. Look at his record in the FedEx Cup playoffs for 7 years in a row. I mean, it's amazing. He is the most. If he catches fire and wins a major, he might win 4 or 5 of them. He might go on a Brooks Koepka run. He's that, and he is lethal. And with him and Cantlay, I love that pairing. I sure hope Justin Thomas plays well. He's got the most pressure out of anybody, out of all 24 players.
Oh yeah, he does.
Because he knows a lot of people are making the same argument, saying, why him? Why was he on the team? Should have been Keegan, should have been whoever. He knows that the spotlight is big time on him to come through with what he's done in the past and say, okay, forget about all this other crap. Forget about your 80s in the British Open. Let's get back to the way you're playing golf. I'd be curious. Did I see this right, Frank? Is he playing one of the events before Ryder Cup? Is he going to Vegas or something? I thought I saw maybe or heard that he was – just to keep like fresh, because been on the sidelines for a while.
Vegas would be after, and
it's one of the tournaments.
No, I haven't heard that. I've not heard that.
Fortinet, is that the one in Napa?
Fortinet is in Napa.
Yeah,
Fortinet is in Napa, and you know, I think he should play because obviously
he said he was going to. Yeah,
he took the last two playoff events off, and I mean, you've got to play something before that. You can't just go play money games.
He took all the playoff events off. He didn't get in anything, right? I mean, he hasn't played since. Before the playoffs started, he missed it by that chip in, right? So, I mean, he's been working on his own game on the sidelines, which is not the same. So I think I saw that he was either considering it seriously or actually was going to play. And he might have said that when we were at the announcement on Tuesday that he was going to play, because these other guys are all somewhat fresh, right, coming off of the playoffs and whatnot. So, but that'll be, you're right. The spotlight is definitely on Justin Thomas. But let me ask you this too, and maybe – if you know Frank, if you've been following the European Tour, but Art, maybe if you have, once you get past the Victors and the Rorys and Rahms, and you start looking at who's in Fleetwood, you start looking at some of these other guys on the European Tour, you know, we're talking about guys named, you know, that people aren't going to be familiar with. Sepp Straka, we kind of got familiar with, but on
he's really good at golf. Trust me, he can play.
He is, but I'm saying here's some other names: Ludvig Åberg, Adrian
awesome
Maronk,
player,
Adrian Maronk, Seamus Power, Yannick Paul, Thomas Dietrich, Victor Perez. Yeah. These are guys that could be the picks that we're going to see next week for the European team. And I don't bet Rasmus Højgaard. I'm not kidding you. These are the names that are right there that are going to be picked. Nobody knows who these people are. Are they that good, Art? I mean, it seems like once you get past four or five European guys, the last seven are going to be big question marks.
I don't know about that.
They're really good at golf.
How much of the DP World Tour do you watch, Tim? Because, man.
But that's not the best tour, right? I mean, we're not going to kid anybody. Those are not the best guys in the world that are playing on DP Tour. The best are at the PJ Tour, and maybe second is LIV Tour. By the way, Patrick Harrington's name has been thrown around too, Art, in the Steve Stricker vein of things. Would Patrick be seriously considered for the European team?
I think it's a really big consideration. He can go. He hits it a mile. Shane Lowry's going to be on that team. I'm telling you, the Maronk guy is real. He's real. Paul Robert McIntyre can play with anybody. I think they're a formidable opponent, and they play on those surfaces and those guys. Slow greens drive our players nuts. Tight fairways with incredible cabbage on both sides drive our players nuts. They drive our if we were setting up the golf course and it was a big bomber's place, I'm telling you, you'd see Cam Young on the team. You might have even seen the DJ pick, people that can fly it over three bills. It would be a bomber's paradise. But this is going to be a precision strikers golf course, and you've got to putt the ball. And that's why I'm not really trying to be nuts on my picks. I'm just trying to take two of the best putters on the planet, because when you look back, you'll see what everybody says on TV. Well, they just made more putts than we did. How did we lose at Medina? Because they made everything they looked at. Poulter made everything he looked at, and we didn't. And it comes down to putting. And how many Ryder Cups have been decided by less than a point or two? And it's a putt here and there. It's just putting is what is everything. But I'm telling you, these guys can play.
I wish they would have put Patrick Reed on there just so he could go head to head with Tyrrell Hatton. I want those two hotheads getting in a wrestling match after the third hole.
How many picks do the Euros take?
Six. I think it's the same.
They do the six deal as well.
Yeah. Automatic six and then pick six.
Yeah, it's definitely upside down, because, you know, it's going to be really kind of a weird Ryder Cup when you don't even see a Sergio, or you don't see Westwood, and you don't see Poulter and those kinds of players. Yeah. But, it's the things are changing, and I think it's going to be a very competitive Ryder Cup. I think we just had incredible horses the last Ryder Cup on a golf course that was just wide open, where you could just hit it miles, and it was the perfect storm for the United States.
And I think you're right, too.
Going over to Rome? I don't know.
The other thing I was going to ask you, you've never played there, I'm assuming, right, this golf course?
I have not played this golf course.
But Frank and I were talking about this. It's certainly a road game for the U.S., but is it a weird kind of different thing because it's in a kind of a fairly non-golf crazy country, and in a country other than Molinari, you're not going to have any Italians playing actually on the team and being part of all this. Does that take away from the advantage they would have, or are they still going to have a huge advantage because it's Europe in general?
Europe.
I think it's just Euros going crazy for that cup, number one. Home soil, number two. And again, why I think it's going to be competitive is golf course setup, period. Yeah. It's just it makes every difference in the world. And when I played this PGA Fields course here, and the width of these fairways and the way that golf course plays, that's just going to be who can hit it the hardest. But it'll come, I'm telling you, just pay attention to some key putting just in this Ryder Cup. So right now, if you had to pick right now, obviously, on paper, as they always say, USA are favorites. Who would you guys who do you guys say is going to win the Ryder Cup?
Go ahead, Frank.
I think it's a toss up. I really do. It's a lot closer than people think.
About this, right?
Yep.
On paper, it's not even close, but you're thinking about it because of all the parameters that are going to go into this deal. Plus, I'll tell you what. Don't screw with the underdog, man.
Who's never ever before.
Oh. They're back to a corner. I actually, if I had to put money on it, Art, if you're going to Vegas for me and give me $100 to put on it, I think right now I'd put it on Europe. I think that, well, let's be honest, they haven't lost on their own soil, Art, since your Cowboys were Super Bowl champs. So right. How far back is that going, right? I mean, it's
generations. I don't know, but I'm a Jet fan, and I cannot wait for September 17th.
I can't either. That's going to be good.
Because I will be in my Joe Namath jersey, boys.
Jets.
I'm glad you didn't say your Joe Namath mink fur coat.
I have a picture of that on my phone. I keep that always when he was on the sideline in a fur coat. And
love that.
God knows how much those Italian leather shoes cost. But
and his Fu Manchu.
I think it's going to be really close.
Yeah, I think it will be too. But I don't disagree with you. I think let's just pick some of you guys. I think Yannick Paul and Thomas Dietrich will come to know their names because they're going to make putts and putts. And we're going to be sitting there scratching our heads come September 30th and the next few days going, who are these guys and why are they sinking every 18-foot putt that they've it happens so many times. I don't know how it's not going to happen again this time. Even if we don't know or I don't know who they are,
and it's,
I'll bet you that stuff happens.
It's going to be a crazy crowd, too. You asked this question, it's going to be crazy. I know Italy is not the biggest, but that it's like Italy's like, okay, well, maybe that's Florida and, you know, France is just a few states over, like Texas. Okay, it's going to be a European crowd that's going to go batshit crazy. Yeah. I guarantee you.
You're right. Can I say a name that you guys haven't said? Can I say a name that you haven't looked down the list?
Shall.
Matt Fitzpatrick. He's kind of good.
Yeah, he's kind of steady.
He's not bad.
Kind of steady. He's 28th in the standings because he plays the PGA Tour, so he'll be a pick. So you come out of the gate with Lowry can golf it. So you got Rory, you got Rahm, you got McIntyre, and then you're telling me you got Tyrrell Hatton who can play golf with anybody in the world, and then you got Matt Fitzpatrick. Tim, they're a little deeper than you might think. Yep, I'm telling you.
They are.
I'm just going to give you this fact. This one that is going to be interesting. You guys will both be surprised. Matt Fitzpatrick's Ryder Cup record, 0-5-0. Has not won
against whom?
Well,
that's
I'm
the
just
key.
Saying, hasn't won a point in Ryder Cup. So some guys rise to the occasion.
0-5-0. Okay. Yeah,
you'd look at Ian Poulter in normal years and go, well, the guy's terrible. He's 50th in the world. He's this and this and that. And you'd put him in a Ryder Cup uniform and that guy'd get you 3 to 4 points every freaking time. Right out of nowhere, almost he'd do it, and a lot of it was just out of will and determination. That's where the captain has to look into the heart of the guys and say, "Okay, who is my player?" And I think that was his decision with JT. It certainly is the decision with Koepka to say those guys in the right situation are kind of made for this. They may not look like it, and I know you guys are going to be questioning my pick here, Zach Johnson saying, but those are the guys that have that Ian Poulter stare down kind of feel about it.
That's a fair statement, but I think
it could happen.
Why is Fitzpatrick's record 0-5? Well, everybody's record got tarnished over there at Whistling Straits. I mean, there was 3-4 losses right there. So just, you know, kind of let that go. But Matt Fitzpatrick is he's a pure gamer, and that's all it's to it. And I mean, I just think everybody got their ass kicked at Whistling Straits. I think this is going to be really close, and it's going to come down to the end, and it will not be – 19-9 type situation, and I think it's going to come down to the final point, maybe point and a half max.
Oh, I can't wait.
It's going to be great.
All right, Art, we appreciate your time. Thanks so much, and best of luck with all the things happening. Again, if people are in the Dallas-Fort Worth area and you want to get fitted by the best of the best, Selinger's Power Golf, go to selingerspowergolf.com. You also have merchandise there, right? I mean, somebody wants to get some hats and merchandise and stuff. You guys are doing that as well, right, Art?
We are. We do quite a few things, whether it's corporate stuff like that. But, yes, we do, and we're very proud of our store. We just got for a seventh straight year top 100 by Golf Digest for our shops and fitting, because we do all our own building as well and on site. So that's going well. And we're putting a second bay in the Roanoke facility. That will be nice to have so people don't have to wait a month to get in. But things are quite well. Very, very lucky, the team I have. Boys, thanks for having me on.
Okay. Appreciate it, pal.
We'll look forward to the Ryder Cup and to see what happens with the new LIV golf schedule that got leaked. Did y'all talk about that?
No, we haven't. We were holding that back for another one. But all right.
That's fun. Is there anything that's not leakable anymore?
I mean, yes. Joe Biden's bank records. There you go.
Wow.
There's a curveball.
Bye, boys. I'm out on that one.
See you, pal.
All right. See ya. Art Selinger.
I knew that would get him.
there's a stop down.
Woo! That shut her down.
Let's talk Biden. Let's talk a little Biden talk here.
Man, oh my gosh.
Well, that's good. Well, it was good to hear.
Yeah,
that's
good.
And I don't think art, you know, it does seem weird, and nobody would ever, I think, decide to take a 50-year-old, by God, to play in the Ryder Cup. But that's not a bad thought, because he's red hot on the seniors tour, and I get people are going to say very different, but he's done it on the big stage. He was, 20 years on the PGA tour? It's not like he just developed as a senior. But he is a machine, isn't he? I mean, he just stripes it. And I don't know, in today's world, he probably hits a 280, I guess, right? He's not crushing it.
Yeah.
But that's his point. You don't need to crush it. Just get it in play and let the other guys, let Jordan have to, you know, hit alternate shot. Let Jordan have to hit a 170-yard shot from the fairway and not his 160-yard shot from behind a tree that he normally ends up with. So, yeah, not a bad thought. Not a bad.
Yep. Yep. He's got something to say. So, well.
Hey, you know what? Before we go, mention a couple of things. You know, I told you earlier that I'm getting to go to Philadelphia in a couple of weeks and play with Gary Player.
Yes.
And Gary Player's foundation has an event there, and I'm going to go and emcee it, but also play. Well, his daughter called and said, had to get some information for me and stuff like that, and sizes, different things, and as well as flight information. And she said, my dad would like you to get in a couple of days early because he and you and a couple of friends are going to play a few different courses before we play at Aronimink, which is where we're going to have the event.
Yes.
He wants to play before that at maybe a place called Philadelphia Cricket Club. The oldest country club in the country.
Yes, it is.
And possibly a place called Marion.
This show's over. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
I'll just be walking behind Mr. Player as he plays. Like, are you allowed here?
I'm like, did you even tell them that you had a co-host on this show that might want to come up there too?
They have no idea of anything.
Nothing. Nothing. Live show we could do from up there. I could come to Philly.
That could be fun. So
I'll be healed by then from the injuries.
Yeah, you do. Did we talk about that on the air?
No.
It was off the air. Yeah. No. Frank had a kick something that was in the ground that he didn't see and tripped and fell, and I hope you're feeling better. But yeah, kind of.
I was just walking off
a
green.
Dent in your leg.
Wow, yeah. And just caught caught some metal that was sticking out from a fan.
Yeah.
And it clipped me like a linebacker, just clipped you off right in the shins. And I went down, face planted, and knocked me cold and put a hole in my leg and. It's been a lovely evening with a really nice physician with his needle and thread sewing my leg up.
Wow.
So, I'm all wrapped up and can't play today or tomorrow or the next day. So.
Yeah, well, you got to get better.
And he said, by the way, you can't go swimming either. I said, well, geez, what am I supposed to do? I don't know.
Holiday weekend.
Holiday weekend. Here we go.
What are you going to do, Frank? If you have to sit in a chair, what are you going to do
for the next
3 days?
You haven't seen our pool. It's lovely. At the club.
I'm saying I can imagine what you might do if you were stuck sitting in a chair.
Vodka cranberry splash of orange juice, please.
With a glass and some ice in it. You'll figure out something.
Take my pain pills and my whatever. It'll be great.
Oh, there you go.
Woo-hoo.
It will be a good weekend for you.
I'll tell you what. Pay attention to your surroundings when you're walking around on the golf course because
you never know.
Freak accident and it just.
And as you get older, we don't have quite the reactions either, right? Like if this was 5 years ago, I'm just saying. I'm saying the same thing. You might have gotten your hands down first or we're done. But you start getting older, and you just don't. I mean, I find myself doing that.
I got my left wrist
trip
down.
On something. I hit something. Yeah. I'm like, what the heck,
old
man? So
I went down. My left wrist so sore. I thought I'd broken it when I came to, but Yeah, it was scary. So watch your surroundings.
I've never been knocked out before. Have you ever been knocked unconscious before?
Yeah, when I played football. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever been knocked unconscious. Yeah.
Yep. Knocked.
I feel like my wife thinks I'm unconscious a lot of the time. But I don't know that technically I have been.
It's a weird feeling when you come to and blood's all over the place and your buddies are standing over you going, don't move him.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't know. Anyway, it's all good. Anyway. I have a great group of friends around me, and God bless their hearts for watching out for this crazy old fool. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was called sober, by the way, too.
Yes.
So, and I just won the hole. So, you know, there we go.
You sure it wasn't a buddy who you just took money from that actually put his foot out?
Probably could have been. You know,
right. What's that over there?
It was definitely cold steel that went into my legs. So,
yeah. Oh.
Yeah, man, it's painful. Anyway, it's all good, and all right. we're gonna be all better. So there you go.
All right. Well, we'll do some more stuff in the meantime. You mentioned a little bit about, we were talking about with art, and maybe that was off the air, but about the fitting and different things like art does, and that could be any kind of equipment. But in your case, it's PXG.
It is.
Where you got fitted and continue to be fitted and continue. And by the way, Gary Player is a PXG guy as well.
Brand ambassador.
So he is loaded down with PXG. So tell us a little bit about it.
Well, PXG is just fabulous. I mean, their fitting process and their after the fitting follow-up and process. And if you don't like if for some reason something's not working, they make it right. They will fix it. They will tweak everything.
They're not happy unless you're happy.
That's exactly right. It's the best golf clubs I have ever played, period. And, Now, my friends, by the way, as I was, in the golf cart with towels wrapped around my legs and blood going everywhere, they said, listen, if you don't make it, can I have your clubs? Oh, yeah. That's my buddies. Yeah.
Those are the good friends you were just talking about?
Yeah.
The loyal good friends that were all divvying up your clubs?
Yeah.
I got a 7-iron.
Well, they know about the other bags here in the studio. And they said, look, can we go to the studio and pick out some things? And I said, no.
Yeah.
No, guys, I'll be back.
We're going to come by.
Yeah, okay. that was really fun. Thanks to Sumner.
PXG? Sumner Hospital, by the way.
PXG.com, yes.
There you go. Okay. And also our good friends at Invited, check out invitedclubs.com. That, of course, used to be Club Corp, and there are clubs all over the country, and Frank and I are members in Nashville and in Dallas, and you could be too, all over the country. Yep. They have over 250 clubs. They also have dinner clubs as well as country clubs. So, again, check them at invitedclubs.com. You'll be so happy that you did.
Yes, sir.
All right. We are done. We are finished.
Okay.
Put a top on this one. We'll come back, talk more about America. Yep. Next week, because there'll be more stories coming out.
And we'll have some interviews for you, too. We'll play some interviews for you and give our response.
There, right. We got a lot of sound, a lot of interviews from Justin and Jordan and Scotty and all the guys. So we'll play some of that for you next week on the shows, and you'll hear what they said when they got picked. Not Scotty getting picked, but the other guys getting actually picked and surprised or not surprised by it. Justin Thomas, actually very, very enlightened, said, I couldn't sleep a few days before thinking I may or may not get picked. And then when I found out I got picked from Zach, I couldn't sleep. I was so excited that I actually made the team, which kind of tells you for a guy that's done it and won majors and everything else, how big a deal this is, a Ryder Cup for these guys. They actually lose sleep over making the team or not making the team. And that's why the drama is the way that it is. So can't wait for it to get here. End of September in Rome. That should do it for us.
Yep, we're out.
Art Selinger and Frank Bassett. I'm Tim Matthews. Thanks for being with us. And remember to join us next time right here for Golf Talk America.